Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for the Nightcap.
Who are you talking to right now? Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No, I am the one who knocks.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
The best TV show in history. That opens from Breaking Bad. You've probably heard it before if you've listened to the Nightcap. But I'm glad you played that, Derek, because, and I'm not sure if you did this on purpose or it was just a coincidence, but on Conan last night, they had the entire cast and creator Vince Gilligan on the set, on the show from Breaking Bad. And it's the 10th anniversary of the show starting. And it's been 5 years since it's been off air. So they had them all on. And I love that show more than almost anything in the world. Like, I love that show so much. It's my favorite TV show of all time. I think it's the greatest TV show of all time, Breaking Bad. And I was going somewhere with this. Where was I going with this?
Something about that you wanted to usually rewatch it every year.
Oh, thank you. Yep. I get so excited just thinking about it. I can't even maintain my thought process. I usually watch it once a year since it went off the air. So I've seen it 5 times. And I was going to do it a 6, but then I'm like, maybe I'll watch something. I watch The Sopranos instead. I don't watch a ton of TV. Generally, I'll watch one show at a time, and it'll take me a couple months just because I don't watch it very often. But like, The Sopranos is the only thing I've watched at all for like 3 months. And I just finished it. And so now I'm like, what's next? Should I do Breaking Bad again? I haven't watched it yet this year. I usually watch it every year because I love it that much.
It's fresh on the mind. Get it over with.
Right. So now I got this open playing, and that's being thrown in my face. And it's the 10th anniversary, so they're on TV yesterday. So that's there. Oh, it's just such a good TV
show. Just do it.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen all of it.
Derek.
Hey.
Derek, have you seen Breaking Bad?
I never finished it.
Oh, my God. What do you mean you haven't finished it? That is not a show you are allowed to not finish. You get to a certain point in that show.
You said you don't watch much TV. I actually take that a step further with
none.
Just not having TV.
How far did you get? Do you remember? There's 5 seasons, so.
Season 2? Don't get concussions. I don't remember much.
You've got to start it over, man. You got to start it over. Everyone should be required. That should be, like, in school. You know how they make you read certain books, like To Kill a Mockingbird, and not Moby Dick anymore. It's 2018. But there's other books that they make you read. There's curriculum. Like, Breaking Bad should be added to the curriculum of every school in America. No educational reason. I just think everyone in the world should have to watch it, just because it's that good.
I feel like that's a little.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a little much.
No,
that
it's not. It should be deserved. It's so
should
deserved.
Be required by everyone.
Yes, it should.
You know what? Now I'm just going to rebel and not do it.
I hate you. I'm just kidding. It's the Nightcap on WGR. Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. We are 1 week away from training camp, like real training camp, like on the field, players doing stuff,
practices, and training pads camp. Hitting. Oh, yes, pads hitting.
Josh Allen being on the... We're a week away from tweets about how many first-team reps Josh Allen's getting.
And how many completions have been...
Dropped by Zay Jones.
Well, not... Oh, that's kidding. That's harsh. No, like, you know, like the completions and attempts from each quarterback. Like, AJ McCarron went 9 of 14 today, and, you know, stuff like that. We're a week away from that.
Right. Will Turner, by the way, on Twitter says, I agree 100% about Breaking Bad. I think it needs its own holiday. Completely agree. What's a good holiday for Breaking Bad?
Today? You know, the day that it was released?
803-0550. What's the best holiday? I'm just kidding. I'm going to think about that.
I would say today, the day that it was initially launched.
July 19th.
If it were to be a holiday, shouldn't it
be a day that pertains to the show, though? I don't know if there is a day that it's like, maybe it's not. I don't know. Oh, I know what it's got to be. There were two, I think, if I have this number off a little bit, I'll correct myself later. I think there were 207 deaths in Breaking Bad. So therefore, February 7th should be National Breaking Bad Day. Like it?
No.
Everyone gets off of work. Sean says, watch Sons of Anarchy. Now, a lot of people that like Breaking Bad have suggested that to me. But I don't know. I can't get in. It's bikers, right? It's bikers. Like, I'm not saying anything about bikers, but, like, that doesn't appeal to me as a show. I don't know why, but just something about it makes me think I'm not going to like it. Maybe I'll try Sons of Anarchy, though, because anyone that's watched it tells me it's really good. So maybe I should go for Sons of Anarchy. 803-0550 is the phone number. You can get in on this if you want. This is not at all what I was planning on talking about, but it's there for you if you want it. I'm always willing to talk Breaking Bad any day of the year. I could be talking about anything. We could be knee-deep in a quarterback competition conversation. And if you want to call in and talk about Breaking Bad, I will stop everything and go right to you. I guarantee it.
It's because you're a dork.
For this, I am. I will accept that. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're on the nightcap. What's going on, man?
Hey, love the show. Watch it whenever I can. I miss it when I don't see it every night. But there's a good show on tonight on FX at 10 o'clock, so you check that out.
What is it?
I forget what it's called, but it's about the drug empire and this and that. But it's supposed to be cool at 10 o'clock on FX tonight.
Okay, all right, thanks, Kevin. That might be Sons of Anarchy. I think right. That was on FX. I don't even know if that show still exists. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, though, I'll stop everything if you want to call in about Breaking Bad. But I put a poll up on Twitter. We're a week away from Bill's training camp. And, you know, me and Derek just talking off air before the show. And we're talking about the position groups. And once again, we circle around to the skilled positions. And just, to me, how poor they are. So I'm thinking, have they done the worst job with that position this offseason as opposed to all the others? So I have two polls up. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Which position group have the Bills done the best job with this offseason, and which position group have the Bills done the worst job with this offseason? Now, for the best position group, right now it's pretty close. Quarterback at 24%, interior defensive line at 29%, linebacker at 33%, and then pass rush at 14%. So it's pretty close there between linebacker, interior defensive line, and quarterback. Linebacker, I mean, people love Tremaine Edmonds. Love him already. Like, the idea of Tremaine Edmonds makes you think, oh, this guy's going to be a superstar. Like Luke Kuechly, but taller. Because he can cover ground. He can cover the field. And whatnot. And then, interior defensive line, obviously that's Latulale, and that's filling a huge need that you were awful at last season, stopping the run, and you needed a guy to just take up blocks. And that's hopefully what Latulale does. And then And then quarterback, I'm surprised quarterback's that high at 24%. But of course, you've got Allen, and you got McCarron. Just to me, if you were going to draft a quarterback, I wanted Tyrod Taylor still here. I understand that he wasn't the future, and I understand that a lot of people wanted to move on. But I think if you were looking at it in a short-term basis, who gave you the best chance to win this year? And if Tyrod Taylor was still on this team, he would certainly be the favorite to start. In fact, I don't even know how much competition there would be. There would be some, because obviously McDermott went to Peterman last year over him. But I have to think he's the best quarterback if he's on this team right now. But quarterback is at 23%. And then the other poll, which position group have the Bills done the worst job with this offseason? And it's pretty much a runaway, and I think it should be a runaway. Wide receiver is at 64%. Offensive line at 20%, 13% quarterback, 3% other. I think the offensive line, like, they obviously downgraded, But what could they really have done about that? Like, Incognito just retired out of nowhere, and he's going off on Twitter all the time now. Like, I don't know what's going on with Richie Incognito. The quarterback situation, a lot of people have their doubts on Allen. People have their doubts on McCarron, and a lot of people have their doubts on Peterman. So I could see where you would say, hey, they traded the guy that got them to the playoffs, and now he's doing in Cleveland what maybe you would want a guy to do here in Buffalo. To start for a while the raw quarterback prospect is developing, fixing his footwork, and not having to be rushed into the lineup. That's the other thing. Tyrod would have given you the ability to not rush Josh Allen. And you don't have that luxury anymore. You might still have that. You might still have it. Like, if McCarron's good, you might still have that luxury. But to me, in my personal opinion, you lost a guarantee. You lost a guy you knew was going to be at least average so that you wouldn't have to rush Josh Allen into the game. You had a guy that was almost always healthy. So you know he was probably going to be available to you to be on the field, so you didn't have to rush Josh Allen onto the field. That's why Cleveland was so enticed by him. That's why Cleveland is going to start him. And that's why he's there coexisting with Baker Mayfield. They don't have to rush Mayfield. The Bills might have to rush Allen. They might not have to, but like they might have to. It could go terribly wrong with McCarron and Peterman. It really could. We already saw it go terribly wrong once with Peterman. I don't think it will go wrong with McCarron, but he's certainly less proven than Tyrod Taylor is.
I get that. But, again, there is something that you have to continue to factor. I know you're not a huge Nathan Peterman fan. As a matter of fact, we've had multiple conversations like this. But the point is, the Bills coaching staff does like him, and they will give him that second chance if McCarron were to be injured or flop. And that's the reality of it. They're going to go through two quarterbacks, I suspect, before they even think about putting Allen back, put Allen onto the field for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as simple as it is. And I want it to be that way because Josh Allen needs to be able to develop properly so that he can be the franchise quarterback.
Do you think that, so to the poll though, you have 23% of people saying that's the position they've done the best job with this offseason. Do you agree with that? Because I do think they have made mistakes along the way, not just the Allen pick. And I liked the McCarron signing, but there are people out there, I think, that maybe would want a more established stopgap.
With the poll, in terms of the poll, I would say that it's got to be the interior defensive line. I mean, really.
That was, as of a matter those positions, fact, that's the one they were the worst at last year.
As a matter of fact, there was one that's not in there that I think you could even include, the secondary. The secondary managed to get better from what it was last year, I think.
How so?
Vontae Davis comes in to pretty much, I would say, even keeled with E.J. Gaines.
Okay.
Because Gaines, while good, was not always healthy.
But Davis also has not been healthy, which is why I wouldn't necessarily chalk that up.
It's even keeled.
Yeah, okay.
Here's the reasoning.
Yes.
It's because of the players that they brought in through free agency and the draft to get this secondary what they didn't have last year, depth.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly at safety.
No, that's right. That's right.
Raphael Bush comes in and probably gives you a steadying presence, a guy who's started games in this league for three different teams, mostly with New Orleans, but you know he's been to three different teams. He's been around the block. He knows what it has to take.
I don't mind that answer.
Plus, Saran Neal.
Yeah, him.
A very versatile player. Taron Johnson, and then the free agency addition of Philip Gaines, a slot corner who has done most of that work in the slot for Kansas City over the last 4 years.
No, you do make a good point, because when Gaines got injured, it was Sharice Wright and Leonard Johnson. And, like, nothing against those guys, but those were, like, journeyman veterans. And now it is nice that, like, those depth guys, they're not just depth guys, like, they're developmental players. Like, they're young.
And Philip Gaines could bump into the starter spot if White or Davis were to get hurt. So you have a veteran player that you could put in there first. And then, again, the fact that they have depth at the safety position. Once you saw how well Hyde and Poyer were doing last year, you're like, please, for the love of God, don't either of them get hurt. I don't have to freak out about it.
That's right. Yep. Right now, it's tied at 32% each. Which position group have the Bills done the best job with this offseason? Interior defensive line and linebacker. The position that I put in the poll that's right now got the least amount of votes is my answer to this. It's pass rush. And to me, partially it is because that's one of the most important things you need to have on a good football team. I think you need to get pressure on the quarterback. And last year, they were pretty bad at it. They
27 were sacks.
Yeah, they were.
That's not pretty bad. That's terrible.
And I think they were also near the bottom in like quarterback hurries, mm-hmm. and like all the pass rushing stats, they were near the bottom of the league in. It was Jerry Hughes, and then you weren't getting much on the other side.
Yeah.
They add Trent Murphy, who I don't think is some superstar player, but that's at least an upgrade over what I thought you had last year. And I think not trading Shaq Lawson is another good thing for that position. Because, really, he really hasn't had much opportunity to take off, has he? The first year, he was basically injured the whole year, and then he came in, he was playing out of position. And last year, sure, he, what do you have, 4 sacks? Not great.
Yeah.
But I thought he did fine, and he was pretty good in the run game.
He's really good
there.
In the run game.
Yeah. So, to me, he really hasn't had a chance to blossom as a player. So, I like the fact that they did not trade him, even though, like, that was... Not speculated, but it was talked about. Like, oh, they could do this. Like, they traded all these players last year. Who would they trade this year? Shaq Lawson was usually the first name you would hear. So I like the fact that he is still on the team for this pass rush. And really, there's not as much pressure on him anymore. He doesn't have to show up and have 10 sacks because you have Trent Murphy and you have Jerry Hughes, who are both established. They're both good pass rushers. I wouldn't call Trent Murphy established because he's had one good season. But, like, you could get 15 sacks out of those two guys, and then suddenly there's not as much pressure on Shaq Lawson to have to do it well.
But now, if you're going to buy into whatever's going on there with the reports about Shaq Lawson, how he feels motivated to actually be able to do more, and it looks like he's kind of realized it, that this is his chance and his last chance at Buffalo to be one of those established players, I'm buying into that because it reminds a lot of people of the Players Tribune story by Aaron Williams. When he said, you know, first couple of years, I didn't really get it. And then when I locked in and I understood how it had to be played, you know, that's how the Bills ended up with a solid safety in Aaron Williams. I think the same thing is going on here with Shaq Lawson. And is it a carbon copy? No, probably not. But if you get a guy who is already good at stopping the run and you can get 7-8 sacks out of him, you've already got a better pass rush. I think that pass rush gets better just because you couldn't do worse last year. You saw a lot of timely sacks from linebacker or safety blitzes, not from the original four on the pass rush.
Gotcha.
And now Kyle Williams gets to be in a rotation.
Yep.
Along with Harrison Phillips and Starla Tulele. That is where something... Fresh legs are going to help this team get better. And Oa Digizua, I think, is a low-key guy that you can get 3 or 4 sacks out of this year.
On the other side of the poll, what's your thought on that? What position have they done the worst with? You agree it's wide? I mean, 64% wide receiver. That's my answer, and that's what's running away with it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could have done at offensive line. Like, Incognito retires out of the blue. Eric Wood has a neck injury you can't control. I love the Bodine signing.
I personally feel like you still should have done something at right tackle.
Yeah, Jordan Mills coming back again.
That's the only thing that I can go at. To make it sound different from what the overwhelming answer is on the poll, that's what I'll talk about there, is because of the fact you did have Cordy Glenn, and he was instrumental in helping get Josh Allen. However, you didn't end up getting enough, I think, to replace what was going on there. Interior, I think they'll be okay. I suspect Ryan Groy is going to win that job anyway.
Yeah, I do too. But
and I suspect John Miller will play better because he's in a scheme that fits his talents again. Rick Dennison shoving square pegs into round holes. Oh, thank God he's gone. That means that you probably get another starting guard out of this. So you can have Dukas there still. Coaching staff seems to love him. And I think he's okay. But you can get John Miller back in there now too, and you didn't have to add another guard. But the right tackle position was one that was already weak. I'd like to see Jordan Mills try to bounce back, but I'm not going to get my hopes up there. And I think that they should have brought someone else. Oh, they did. Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah, Marshall Newhouse.
But Newhouse isn't exactly a well-known commodity either.
He's the guy that I think got flipped by Kiko Alonso.
Yeah.
Remember that? And then Russell Bodine's the guy that got speared or almost cut in half by J.J. Watt a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Was that Marshall Newhouse? He had the ball and he fumbled
when he was with Green Bay. I think it was...
No, it was Oakland.
Oh, it was Oakland?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. Marshall Newhouse.
Oh, dear.
Lumbers gracefully is the name of the video.
Oh, nice. Lumbers gracefully.
Yeah, he gets the ball. He's running.
It's unfortunate when your offensive line's known for things.
He gets flipped by Geico Alonso.
Now, it's unfortunate to have offensive linemen known for things because offensive linemen generally, if you're doing well, you're not talked about that often.
True.
So, again... It's.
I do. I think the easy answer to this though is wide receiver.
The easy, yeah. And like I said, I didn't feel like having to repeat something. I just wanted to talk about something else there, just for the sake of it.
Yeah, because when I'm looking at receiver, I'm looking at a position where you had Deontay Thompson, not great, but you let him walk out the door, and he was your deep threat last year. That's one position you didn't really go out and replace. Jeremy Curley's more of a slot guy. He does have speed, but he's more of a slot guy. Which another thing to me. I think we're continuing to put Zay Jones in a position he's not natural for. He looks and feels to me like a slot wide receiver. But second year in a row to start his career, he's probably going to have to play outside just because they don't have anybody else to do it. They tried it with Andre Holmes last year a little bit, and he's Andre Holmes. He's a journeyman player in the NFL. So I'm looking at free agency, and I'm looking like what you could have had. I'm not going to go to the draft because really I like that they picked Tremaine Edmonds. I wouldn't have advocated they took a receiver at that spot, and you were going to take your quarterback with your first pick. So really, where were they going to get a wide receiver in the draft? We could start going to round two guys, round three guys, but like, what is that?
But round two, based on them trading up twice in the first round, round two was eliminated.
Right, exactly. So I'm looking at some of the wide receivers that they could have had. And not all these guys they could have had, because like Sammy Watkins is on this list. This is free agents that would have signed. Allen Robinson... You could have paid big money for him. That would have been all of these players, and Derek, I know you let me know when you cut off for me, because I know you have less players on this list.
I have less players on this list.
But
I
to
have
me,
10 on my list here.
Okay, and I have a few more than that. But these are free agents. These are guys that were going to free agency, that hit free agency, and signed with other teams or signed with their original team. I think every single one of these guys, and you think 10 of them, would have been the Bills' second-best receiver, at least. Allen Robinson.
Yep.
Sammy Watkins, you weren't going to sign him, obviously.
Sign him. Honestly, I was thinking about keeping him off the list because of that.
Yeah.
But there is talent there.
Michael Crabtree.
I agree with it.
I love Michael Crabtree as a player.
But the problem is that Michael Crabtree has a similar skill set to Calvin Benjamin.
You're right, he does. But I still think he'd be your second-best wide receiver.
I'd agree.
Cameron Meredith. Don't love the player, he'd be your second-best guy.
Eh.
Really good before he, like... Blew up his leg last year.
There's a lot of questions about blowing up your whole leg.
Sure. Okay. So, all right. So that one's kind of iffy. Terrell Pryor.
I'm on the fence with Terrell Pryor because, honestly, what version would you be getting? The one that thrived in Cleveland or the one that flopped in Washington last year? And that was with a good, halfway decent quarterback at the very least in Kirk Cousins.
Dez Bryant still available?
No.
You don't think he'd be your second best wide receiver? I think he's vastly overrated. I don't think he's an elite wide receiver. But the guy puts up solid numbers year in and year out, and I think he would be your second-best wide receiver.
But right now, as you're seeing, nobody has signed him. Part of that is he's pricing himself out of the market.
That's
more him, and also, I mean, why even think? It's like the Sammy Watkins thing. Why am I even thinking about it?
Well, think about it. It's his decision. He's a free agent right now. He chose to wait until training camp. He would be a Baltimore Raven right now if he was any other player.
Yeah.
He would be on a 3-year. He'd be on a 3-year deal too. So yeah. Like he would be on a team if he had chose to.
I just think that again, a lot of that Dez Bryant doesn't have that speed anymore, and it looks a lot like the same thing to me.
Marquise Lee,
I'd agree with Marquise Lee. I like his game, and I think Jacksonville did good keeping him around.
I do too. Paul Richardson,
no. Did you see that contract he got?
Huge. No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying
that's what happened, though.
No, I know. But all I'm saying is these are guys that signed that would be the Bills' second wide receiver.
I would have flipped my lid if they signed Paul Richardson to 5 years, $40 million.
I would have too. But I really like the player, and he would be your second best wide receiver.
Well, I guess if you got into a bidding war there, no thanks.
Mike Wallace,
I'll agree with. He took a 1 year prove it deal, and that would be something the Bills could have used.
Jordy Nelson,
absolutely. I think that, you know, he may have been lost to injury, but he is a guy that has proven time and again that he can be a solid number two wide receiver right now still.
Taylor Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel would have been fun. I think
fast.
When you had that question yesterday about who would take that screen pass 25 yep. yards, Taylor Gabriel could take that 35,
yes.
40.
Precisely. He'd be your most dangerous yards. He would be your most dangerous yards after the catch guy right now,
absolutely.
Past after McCoy.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. Taylor Gabriel would have been a really fun piece.
And then it gets a little tricky for me here, but I think I would still say these guys would be your second best. John Brown, just
John
because
Brown,
of
the
speed.
Speed factor. You'd obviously have to make sure that he's healthy. So
yep.
there's questions there, but you know, kick a tire there. Why not? I wouldn't have been mad.
Dante Moncrief.
I like Dante Moncrief, and I think he would place in as probably a very solid number two wide receiver.
And then I don't think you agree with this guy, but I love him as a player. He can't stay healthy, but if he was healthy, I think he'd be your second best guy. Bruce Ellington, another like yards after the catch guy. San Francisco a couple years ago, he only got in like 6 to 8 games as a starter, but he looked really good. Watching him play, like they would throw screens to him, and like if this guy could stay healthy, I'm telling you, he would be a dangerous player in the league, but he can't.
I see a lot of flash in the pan kind of stuff with Bruce Ellington.
That's more than they have here, though.
We
have big, slow, and old, if it's not Zay Jones.
I'm also suspecting that Zay Jones will step up because, again, he had such a bad year, I think, that can you really get that much worse?
You could say the same. And it's not like he doesn't have issues staying healthy either, it seems. So I don't know. I'm not super high on Zay Jones. He's my one point of optimism at that position. Like, they need him to step up. It's almost like the Gooley conversation before the Sabres got Dahlin with the Sabres. Gooley looked like a real nice prospect. He was a second-round pick. We were counting on him to show up and be a top-four defenseman, even a top-pair defenseman. Like, we needed him to do it.
We were hoping that it had to happen like that.
Because there was nothing else in the organization that could have stepped up and done it. That's kind of, I feel like, where we're at with Zay Jones right now. Like, nice-looking guy, nice-looking prospect, probably shouldn't have been on the field last year, but you've got nothing else in your organization that you could say, hey, this guy could really take a big step in his game and become a number two or even, God forbid, a number one wide receiver. He's the only guy. Because then the next guys you're talking about are 6th and 7th round picks, like McLeod and Prohl, who they drafted this year. 803-0550 is the phone number. Which position group do you think the Bills have done the best and the worst job with this offseason? Quick update on the poll. The polls for both. Best job, 22% quarterback. Let's start with the top one. 33% interior defensive line, 29% linebacker, 22% quarterback, and 16% for pass rushers. And then for worst job this offseason, running away with it, 65% to wide receiver. Coming up next, though, we're going to take a little break from the Bills. We'll play back Adam Kaufman from WBEZ in Boston. Get a little update on what's going on in New England. The Patriots, some people think they're going to take a little step back this year. Not enough to where they don't win the AFC East, but some people, I've seen them projected at like 10-6, which I know, like hilarious, right? That would be a godsend for the Bills, and that's like a step back for the Patriots. But some people have projected them at that. Adam Kaufman from WBEZ in Boston, that's coming up next at 8:30, an hour from now. We're going to play back Sal Capaccio, who gives an update on the Bills with Bulldog from earlier today. That's all coming at you. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi, and Derek Kramer right here on WGR. Is this because we're about to go to some Patriots talk?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I figured. This was absolutely on purpose. Unlike the first, unlike the open, I chose to do this.
Let's get right to it then. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer here on WGR. Adam Kaufman from WBZ in Boston talking Patriots. Today on the morning show, here is Adam with the guys.
And we're going to the AT&T hotline. Adam Kaufman is joining us from WBZ Radio in Boston. Adam, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Where to start? Probably with the quarterback. So what is the general feeling, the consensus, the talk in New England about how much longer Brady is going to play and his future?
Yeah, it's ever debated, obviously, and we just sort of try and read the tea leaves and listen to what he has to say on the topic, which generally is very little. You know, he had that sit down with Oprah during the off season mm-hmm. and said that retirement is coming sooner than later, which, I mean, that's not even a comment that's necessary when you're talking about a QB that's about to be 41 years old. Of course, he's on the back nine and then some. He did mention in another interview at some point that he has negotiated two more years at least with his wife Giselle. So, you know, he's always talked about the 45 thing. There was also that tweet in response to the Oprah interview that he put out on ESPN, an Instagram post saying 40 y cinco, 45 in Spanish. You know, he's sort of always trying to kind of keep us on our toes with that, fans, media, whomever else. My belief is that, you know, this will not be his last year. I could see that maybe potentially changing if they win the Super Bowl and he wants to go out on top and just feels good with where he's at with that sixth ring, which would be unprecedented. But at the moment, you know, I do think he's still thinking about the 45 thing or at least two, three more years.
What about Gronkowski, his contract, trade rumors, his future? What's going on with him?
Well, so there was the report just a couple of days ago, and I don't think it came as any surprise based on sort of the traction that has picked up in recent weeks that Rob Gronkowski is expected to report on training camp, to training camp on time, and there won't be any holdout there, even though he doesn't have a new contract as of yet. He, I guess I hesitate to say publicly because he only alludes to it, but, you know, he has acknowledged the fact that he would like a new deal and that he feels underpaid, and he's right. You know, you look at the scope of the rest of the league and tight ends, he's the best maybe to ever do it, but certainly currently and in this era of the NFL, and deserves to be the top paid tight end in the National Football League. At the moment, he's not that. And so he, in fact, he's slated to make less this year than he even did last year. There are, you know, indications that the two sides are working on a deal. His representatives, Drew Rosenhaus, and of course the Patriots, hasn't happened yet. But, you know, my gut feeling is that it's going to happen, maybe even potentially within the next week before Gronkowski arrives for training camp, or if not, then over the course of camp and before the season begins. But, you know, I think all is well there. I do believe that he did genuinely consider retirement in the off season. This wasn't just a ploy for a new contract and more money, but you know, I just think we're heading in a direction where he probably goes out about the same time as Tom Brady does.
We, you know, the Patriots are still a heavy favorite to win the division, partially because of who they are, partially because of the other three teams that were probably still a favorite to win the conference. But they lost some key parts in the offseason. There are some questions. There's the suspension that they're dealing with Edelman. So where, if you have, what questions would you have about the Patriots in terms of where are there some potential weaknesses or some issues to deal with?
Well, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, while I believe the reigning MVP and a guy that threw for 500-plus yards in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, is going to be Tom Brady, you still have to at least acknowledge he may not be. He's about to be 41 years old. That's always going to be a question unless we just see it and he does what he does. But, you know, you said it. Julian Edelman's going to miss the first four games of the year with the suspension. No Brandon Cooks. He's off to L.A. Danny Amendola's in Miami. That receiver position is a little bit thin. Chris Hogan dealt with injuries last year. Malcolm Mitchell was out all of last year. How are these guys going to come back, and to what degree can they fill the void while Edelman's out? So there are some questions in terms of the wideouts. I think tight end, you're fine with Gronkowski as long as he's healthy, and hopefully he will be. The backfield with no Deion Lewis, you know, I don't think it's far from thin, but I do think that, you know, you don't know exactly who is going to be the predominant back, at least in terms of running. When it comes to catching the football, there's Rex Burkhead, there's James White, but is Sony Michel, their first-round draft pick, going to come in right out of college and be that guy who is going to be their lead rusher? I think that is a question right now. And, of course, other side of the ball, defensively, they're are some holes. You know, Malcolm Butler was a big loss, which I think is something that people are maybe overlooking a little bit with the addition of Jason McCourty, and his twin brother Devin is here, and their symmetry and connection those guys have. But there is, you know, that if unless you know, we see your former guy there from Buffalo step up and have a big year, which he really didn't over the course of the start of last season, you know, that the defensive ends, that secondary is going to be another area just to monitor. I'm not going to call it a concern area, but it's something to monitor.
We're with Adam Kaufman, WBZ Radio here, talking Pat's training camp preview. You mentioned Sony Michel, so draft picks. I assume Isaiah Wynn would be in this discussion too. Who from this year's draft class are we talking about starting or having an impact?
And was it a surprise to see the Patriots go first-round running back? Is that something that was kind of expected?
I was surprised. I think most people just in this day and age of the NFL are surprised. You know, even, you know, people when the Giants decided to go with the Penn State back there, his name's escaping me in this moment.
But Saquon Barkley.
When they went with Saquon Barkley at, what was it, number four in the draft?
And two.
That was insanity. That's right. And so it was crazy. You know, not a lot of people, while it was something that I think a lot of people had on their big boards, so to speak, it's still, even when you see it and the reality comes to fruition, it was a little mind-bending just because, as we all know, and you guys have a great running back there in LeSean McCoy, but we all know just looking around the NFL, hell, look at what happened in New England with Deion Lewis. You can have guys that don't really work out elsewhere, they're undrafted or they're late-round picks, they can come in and make a difference in the backfield. You don't have to spend up and use first-round draft pick capital or, in the case of Barkley, some serious cash, $8 million+ a year for a running back. You know, it's just not a position in today's NFL that you have to do that. So I was surprised they went running back in the first round. I would have expected maybe a receiver, maybe somebody along the defensive line, maybe even, you know, something I didn't hit on before, someone to an offensive tackle to replace Nate Solder, who, you know, is with the Giants now, and that was a big protection loss for Brady on that offensive line. So yes, long-winded answer short, I was surprised that they decided to go with him, but it's going to be interesting to see kind of which guys slot into place as starters, but Belichick will undoubtedly keep guys on their toes throughout training camp.
What about quarterback, Adam? I mean, there was some speculation leading up to the draft. It got to the point where people were freaking out about maybe they're going to move up, they're going to use a first-round pick, they different guys were being thrown out there. Even... what about maybe, you know, the next tier of guys, the third-round pick? They end up not addressing any quarterback until they take a flyer in round 7 on the kid from LSU. Was there any surprise up there that they didn't address the position at all earlier than that?
Yeah, absolutely, especially when you consider just how thin they are in that area. Again, Brady's the greatest of all time, but again, you can't say it enough. He is 41 years old, and after him, the Jimmy Garoppolo era is gone. You know, he's off to San Francisco, and so at this point in time, there's no one that you would feel overly confident about after Brady that could, you know, take you to the promised land. If, you know, at least when Garoppolo was here for those few years, especially in the last couple of seasons, you felt like, okay, God forbid something happens to Brady, Garoppolo can go out there, and you can still win a championship with him as your quarterback. They don't currently find themselves in that position with Brian Hoyer being your chief backup. So I was surprised that, you know, Lamar Jackson would have been curious, obviously, and late in the first round, that would have been a pick that I personally would have been excited about, and it would have been a whole different system and style because he's a totally different kind of QB than Tom Brady, clearly, but it would have been addressing that type of looming need very early on. As you said, they didn't do it. They did it in later rounds, and so there is kind of a lack of security there. You just sort of hope for the best.
Yeah. All right, well, if they don't win 12 games and win the division, I think we'd all be surprised. So,
they have a way of doing that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't hurt being in this division. Adam, thanks. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Appreciate you giving us some time today.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Adam Kaufman from WBZ in Boston, right there with Howard on the Patriots, the Bills' rival. I always feel weird calling them that because I'm sure nobody in Boston calls the Bills their rival. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on our poll that we put in. Also, if you want to get in on what my next TV show should be, because I'm getting a ton of Twitter reaction on that. Fargo, Peaky Blinders, which I tried and couldn't really stick with it. A lot of Sons of Anarchy. Boardwalk Empire. That's HBO. So that gives it a little more credence. I think like maybe that might shoot to the top of the list. These are shows that I should consider instead of watching Breaking Bad for a sixth time.
Why not both?
I can't do both.
Well, I mean, just
it would take me a year.
No, just get your Breaking Bad fix out of the way and then go to something different.
That's generally what happens.
Then just do it like that.
But I think people are people are trying to convince me here that I should go to one of these shows first.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's a good saying. Who came up with that? Was it Maurice Jones-Drew?
No.
He was just on the TV. We were just wondering how old Maurice Jones-Drew is. He's only 33 years old. He's been out of the league for 4 years. Why did he retire so young? 29? Oakland. When did he play for Oakland? Oh, I remember when he played for Oakland.
Yeah.
It was him and who was the other one?
McFadden?
There was another. Yes, McFadden. There were a couple veterans. McFadden was the other one. 1,600 yards in 2011. Forgot about Maurice Jones-Drew. Tonight, Cap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. More on the Bills and TV shows coming up here on WGR.
Yeah, of course, especially initially, right? Because we've been in helmets pretty much all of spring, and you get a chance to just kind of, you know, get back into things, get your grooves, get your pad level right, get to hit somebody versus kind of maybe pulling off, or, you know, you can really show your coach I could have made that play. So it's definitely fun because it starts feeling a lot more like football and just getting back out there and doing what you love to do.
Lorenzo Alexander. On One Bills Live earlier today, if you missed that, that's on demand, as well as a bunch of other things that are interesting, WGR550.com and on the radio.com app. There's a headline that just scrolled through my Twitter timeline. The headline is, Samsung is making a phone you can fold in half. So
the blinking guy
GIF. A flip phone. Samsung has invented a flip phone, everybody. It's pretty funny.
It's never happened before.
Right. Groundbreaking stuff here from Samsung. They're not a sponsor of ours, right? We're not going to get... I don't think they are. 803-0550 is the phone number. I got a lot of reaction on shows I should watch instead of watching Breaking Bad for a sixth time. Game of Thrones, a lot of, but I've already seen that. Amazing. I consider that the second best show of all time. I think Breaking Bad to me is the best show of all time. Game of Thrones is second, and Seinfeld is the funniest show of all time.
I feel like with TV shows, I'm Brayton.
What does that mean? Like you haven't seen them?
I haven't seen a lot of it.
Okay.
Know, like,
so you haven't seen any shows like beginning to end?
No, not the big ones really. No.
Not the big ones, but smaller ones.
No, not even
smaller ones.
Yeah. So. Okay. I end up under that rock kind of thing. It's like Howard eating fruit or Brayton watching anything.
Another suggestion, The Strain, which apparently is about a vampire plague that hits New York City. Now, when he says vampire plague, does that mean like an influx of vampires that have moved to New York City? Or does that mean there's some sort of...
The Strain some probably, sort of, it's probably like a...
It's like a disease that makes you a vampire.
Yes.
Is that what happens with vampires?
Well, I'm just saying, like,
zombies.
No, it's just like they called it the strain, as in like it would be a
medical
term.
So this is what I'm saying. Can you become a vampire? I thought you were just born a vampire. Like, was Dracula ever a normal person? I thought he was just a vampire.
I thought if they bit their victim and didn't kill him or something,
right,
they turn into... I don't know.
Well, look at you, Mr. Doesn't Watch TV, knows
look,
all
man,
about the vampires.
Look, man, they play fast and loose with everything nowadays, okay? So, that's whatever to me.
I need Better Call Saul to come back. That's a spinoff of Breaking Bad, by the way.
Yeah, I know what it is,
Joe. I'm making sure. You just said you did never watch TV before.
It's not that I've never watched TV before. That is a gross overstatement.
So what do you watch? Do you watch anything?
I watch sports. Like, it's my job.
You gotta get a
break. Wait a minute.
You gotta take a break at some point.
My break is not through TV shows, though, man. It's just, you know, sometimes I'll just kick back and play a video game, or I'll go play hockey. That's different from actually having to watch it. You know, for me, that's actually, it's a different kind of relaxation for me. It's, yeah, it's a sport, but, you know, it's not sports because it's barely hockey.
We'll get back on track here after we'll take a break and we'll get an update, and then we'll get back into our poll on what positions you think the Bills have done the best with this offseason and the worst with this offseason. A quick update on those said polls, and wide receiver still crushing it with the position the Bills have done the worst job with this offseason. Offensive line is second. And which position group have the Bills done the best job? Interior defensive line, 35%. Wasn't that your answer, Derek? Interior defensive line?
Yeah.
Linebacker is second with 30%. Man, people really love Tremaine Edmonds. I like him too. But you had a pretty good linebacker in Preston Brown last year. It's not like you've made some substantial change on the short term to me.
It's not just that. I think that they could have done more at the linebacker position, get some more depth in there.
No, this is the best job.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, I see.
Why I wouldn't have picked it.
Oh, okay, okay. And then quarterback is at 20%. Pass rusher's at 15. I'm telling you, that the pass rusher, like you said with Zay Jones, there's nowhere to go but up. That pass rush, there's really nowhere to go but up. And you added Trent Murphy. Hopefully you get Shaq Lawson healthy.
So Odighi Zua has some good depth.
Missing Cap Cappy, though. We're going to miss me some Cap Cappy.
But, hey, you get Odighi Zua, so you get some solid
name. It's a good name, but it's not Cap Cappy.
Oh, it's not Cap Cappy, but you get some
Odighi
solid
Zua
name.
Odighi Zua did not qualify for our names bracket. Maybe it should have.
Well, he wasn't signed before the bracket was released,
wasn't
he?
I think he might have been. Frenzy was in March.
Hey, with Booby Dixon now retiring as a champion from the name bracket, there's room for one more.
Joey tells us on Twitter, the vampires have worms, and they're transmitted by bites.
Ew.
Vampire worms. Gotcha. Someone just spoiled the show for me on Twitter, too, so I don't... What's the point of that? Whatever. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. Back to the Bills when we get back from the break and the update. Sal with Bulldog. We'll play that back at 8:30. Some good conversation there on training camp, which is 1 week away. Sal giving his thoughts on the quarterback competition to come. That's next. It's Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. 803-0550 is the phone number. You're listening to WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.